know what the rivalry's all about. You know, you got the two top teams in the NFC North going against each other. It's a great rivalry.
I don't think there's a switch to be flipped. I think it's just worked.
Now is our time to reset and reestablish our identity as a defense.
They need to handle their business.
And it's blocked! Oh my goodness, the Packers block it, and they're going to win!
Going deep, searching for DJ Moore over the shoulder. Catch made, touchdown there!
Williams looking, throwing, it is intercepted! Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it!
They were just moving the ball up and down the field against that Bears defense.
No, I mean, what defense?
I don't care, you played better for most of the game. You know what you did? You lost.
You don't want to give Chicago extra possessions in the playoffs on the road.
You can't let the little brother beat.
I think they would rather play almost anybody else but us.
The past 2 years, we've kind of been stacking the thing and kept getting better and better. This will be a great game.
We are not going to be done.
Johnny Montage Part 2. And Hour 2 of Wilde and Tausch begins now as the Packers and Bears get ready to do battle tomorrow night at Soldier Field on Lake Michigan in Chicago until they move to Gary, Indiana. Time now.
Before we do the weekend, can I ask you one quick question?
Of course you can.
There's like a bunch of texts that the Gary, Indiana thing made me think of it because they might have a roof on their next stadium. So they are forecasting bad weather tomorrow night. Snow and all kinds of stuff.
Jason's going to be sleeping in that press box.
Yep.
Bring your sleepy bag.
Bring a sleeping bag.
I have to admit, I was thinking, all right, you got to at least bring like a change of underwear, a toothbrush, something, you know, like a little bit of a overnight something just in case we have to stop because
McCaffrey
the roads are so bad.
McCaffrey had 1,200 yards rushing, 102 catches, and he had 17 touchdowns, and he's not winning the MVP? That's crazy. Go ahead.
So who has the advantage in a snowy game tomorrow
Great
night?
To have you in the Everly Solar ESPN
Madison
have
those
Studios.
TVs on. A bunch of people have texted that question in on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talking text line. Who has the advantage if it is a snowy mess tomorrow night?
Bears.
Great question.
Bears.
What Why? Makes you say that, old T?
I think they rely more on the power running game. And I think Green Bay, for as much as we want to run Josh Jacobs, I think we're more about accuracy and, you know, throwing the football. So Jordan Love can cut the ball through the wind. He's got a strong arm, so I'm not worried about that. Caleb Williams can too. But I don't think 30 or 40 mile an hour winds with what we do is beneficial to us. And I think that the Bears want to shorten the game. They want to Baltimoreize us. And you get in those conditions, that's what people like doing. So I don't even think that's a question. But we'll see.
Indeed we will. We'll also see what Jesse's got on the docket.
You guys disagree with me on that?
No, I don't. Again, I was just trying to move forward because I didn't want to have to say I agree with Tausch yet again.
Yeah. He's been doing that a lot today.
It's been a lot.
I think the Packers fresh and healthy after resting last week. Josh Jacobs back after, you know, having time off since the last Bears game. I think he becomes a workhorse in the snow. I think Jordan Love throws the ball better in the snow than Caleb Williams does because he has more experience doing it. I like the Packers slightly more favorably than the Bears in a snowy mess, if that's what it comes to tomorrow night.
We all kind of hope it's snowy and messy, right? It's just so much better TV.
Not all of us, though.
And it's fun to drive in and do all that, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Let's get to the weekend preview.
What a football weekend, and it started last night. Five nights of football. Best weekend of the year if you're a fan of the game.
Next weekend's better.
You would rather have
division
three
round
nights
is better.
Of,
okay, no, but well, you have the national championship on Monday. The ball's better. Yeah, I do.
Fine. Divisional round into the national championship
it's
is
weekend.
Also a very good weekend
it's better
of football.
Than this
but it's not five nights of football.
But it's better. Okay, continue.
Fiesta Bowl was an all-time classic last night.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Miami wins. Tonight, the Peach Bowl featuring number one Indiana and number 5 Oregon in a rematch of a regular season game that they played in Eugene. That's your other college football playoff national semifinal. And then the other playoff games over the weekend. Rams-Panthers gets the party started Saturday 3:30 on Fox. Of course, the Packers game is on Saturday night. That's excluded from our exercise here. Bills-Jaguars, noon Sunday on CBS. 49ers-Eagles, 3:30 Sunday on Fox. Chargers-Patriots, 7 o'clock Sunday night on NBC. And I don't know, should we exempt Texans-Steelers? Because I know we're all interested if Aaron Rodgers is going to get a winner, if that's going to be maybe his last game on Monday night.
That would have been the one I would have said, so yes, let's exempt that.
We'll put that one in a separate category because we'll also be back on the air Monday before that game.
So
those other weekend games, which one besides the Packers game are you most interested to see?
Michigan-Wisconsin Saturday afternoon.
On CBS at noon, college basketball in Ann Arbor, yes.
Michigan's been throttling people. I know they had a tight game last time out, but they're throttling people. A lot of doubt about this Wisconsin Hoops team. On the road, quad one opportunity. That's the game I'm most intrigued by.
What if they win?
Maybe. You might start hearing me dabble. No, tonight's game, of the ones you put out there, tonight's game is the one I'm most intrigued by. Obviously, every NFL playoff game is intriguing, but Indiana, and where there's a lot of positivity around Wisconsin for the first time in forever, I'm going to stay tempered because I haven't seen anybody. Nobody's played, but you have to at least like the direction, and you see what Indiana's doing, and that's the blueprint. That's what programs that have been struggling are looking at. So I want to see how tonight shakes out. Can they beat Oregon again? It's going to be a fun game, and that's the one for me of the weekend.
Yeah, I agree with Tausch once again. I would also add 49ers-Eagles intrigues me a lot on Sunday at 3:30.
I feel like New England's going to beat the Chargers. Every other game, I don't know. I think the Rams will beat the Panthers, too. Every other game feels like a coin toss to me.
I think Rams-Panthers is the only one I know the Rams are going to win. Every other game, I think, is up in the air, which is awesome.
I feel really confident that the Chargers are going to get beat by the Patriots.
I think the winner of Bills-Jaguars might
go to the
represent
Super Bowl.
The AFC in the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to fight you on that.
I agree with Jesse. Very agreeable today. I'm intrigued by 49ers-Eagles. The Eagles are the 3 seed. The Niners are the 6 seed. Is that correct? I think that they will.
That San Fran-Eagles game is interesting. I had somebody ask me yesterday, if Green Bay loses and San Francisco loses, what if Goody and John Lynch just say, hey, let's just
Swap your coaches?
Coach swap.
Pick swap.
And if
coach
you coach swap.
Swap,
would we have to give San Francisco something?
Yeah, great question.
I thought it was interesting. So. It's not going to happen.
They don't want a coach swap, do they? 49ers?
I think San Francisco, if I'm Matt Ryan down in Atlanta, I'm moving heaven and earth to get him down to Atlanta with me.
I like that. Yep. I understand he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he's been to 2 of them.
He's a hell of a ball coach.
He's a really good coach. Yeah. You know, you're anti-nepotism. He has turned out to be far more than just Mike Shanahan's kid. Agreed? He's a really good football coach.
Yeah.
I know we also agree. That is our weekend preview. We need to get to Rob Domofsky. He's scheduled to appear next. He works for ESPN. And when a trophy is raised, it can feel like the season's over. But on the ESPN app, where I'm sure you can find Rob talking at Lambeau Field, never really is. Because with more than 47,000 live events, plus originals, you know I love the 30 for 30s, highlights and coverage from every corner of the sports world, there's always something to dive into on the ESPN app. No off season, just everything a fan needs to keep going. Always in season, all of ESPN, all in one place. Download the ESPN app on your TV or phone today. ESPN's Rob Domofsky joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Is Jesse, are we making this like our official royalty-free walk-up music for all guests?
So this is the...
It's got kind of a marching, you know, entry-type vibe to it.
This is the ESPN Radio NFL theme music, so it does seem appropriate for guests like Rob Domofsky and Brian Bulaga and other voices.
Wait, so do they play this during NFL Live? I don't get to see Rob on TV. I see him shooting TV, but I don't see him on TV very often. Where does this emanate from?
NFL Countdown on Sunday mornings. This will be the theme song that you hear. The NFL broadcasts on ESPN Radio. You hear it. Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing you'll be hearing it when Rob joins NFL Countdown, the playoff edition, at some point this weekend. It is Rob Domofsky from ESPN who joins us first. Rob, hello.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Did you get to see Jesse at our WEAC game of the week?
No, I didn't. Couldn't make it to Platteville, and based on the result, I'm glad I did not.
Yeah, what happened?
Tough night for the Blue Golds.
What happened? How did Rob's kid play?
He played pretty well. I think 8 points, if I remember right. 8 points. A little bit of foul trouble. Right. Wrong place, wrong time on a couple of unfortunate fouls for Ron. Yeah.
Like Lemony Snicket or whatever Tausch referenced earlier in the week.
Yeah, I went to I was able to get to the Lawrence Vikings home game, and that turned out better, so I made the right choice.
There you go. All right, Rob, we're analyzing the heck out of this thing. Tell me why I'm crazy here. The Packers' offense a lot better than the Bears' defense. Got to be better in the red zone. How do you, in your just quick evaluation of how this game is going to go, how do you see this thing shaking out?
Here's the one thing that, if I were the Packers, Tausch, would scare me a little bit. It's the takeaway thing. Although I do think the Packers have been pretty good at protecting the football, but you know as well as I do that these playoff games turn – on big plays or catastrophic plays or whatever you want to call them. And the Packers only have 14 takeaways as a defense, and the Bears lead the league with 33. Like, you know, if Jordan Love can avoid the interception, if whoever's returning kicks cannot fumble the opening kickoff, I think they've got a really good chance to win and probably should win. But the takeaway slash catastrophic play, maybe I've just got too many scars from seeing it, you know, over the years, but that would scare me a little bit.
Yeah, and Rob, especially on the special team side of it, I mean, I think you think back to the blocked punt.
San Francisco.
Yeah, and you could. There's a fumbled kickoff in Philly. That I'm worried about our special teams. I don't know where the Bears rank as far as how good their special teams are. I'm guessing they're better than where we are. That's my big concern when you're talking about catastrophic and big time mistakes that could occur.
Yeah, I think that's and again, maybe, you know, like I watch other games and other teams, special teams make big mistakes. So maybe we're just, you know, it's the devil you know is worse because you see it all the time. But the Packers aren't the only team that has special teams disasters. They just seem to have it at the wrong time.
Rob, I heard a stat from Dan Orlovsky to your point about the turnovers, that the Bears are 2-6 this season, and I assume he has the same access to the wonderful work of ESPN Research, the artists previously known as ESPN Stats and Information, that they are 2-6 when they get 1 or 0 takeaways in a game, which, if my math is right, since they went 11-6, that would make them 9-0 in games where they get 2 takeaways or more.
Right.
The starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, as you saw in person in Dallas a couple of years ago, was star-spangled awesome in his playoff debut. Well, was pretty damn good for two quarters and all but one play of the third quarter in San Francisco, cool. and then threw three picks in Philly after throwing two picks to end the San Francisco game. What are your expectations for Jordan Love with the rust versus rest conversation and the sometimes known for doing too much or trying to do too much with the football in playoff games situation?
Yeah, Jason, maybe I'm, you know, discounting it, but I don't have great concern about the rust thing. I really don't.
I don't either. I'm with you.
Yeah, so let's just throw that one out. Jordan Love was playing really, really well before the concussion, right? I mean, he was, I think, in some of the MVP odds, he was third. Now, it might have been a distant third behind Stafford and Drake May, or Drake May and Stafford, whichever McCaffrey. Order it was. But is that your
I thought I had McCaffrey. Yeah, it didn't work out. But
okay. But, I mean, I think this is Jordan Love's best year. I really do. And he has only thrown, what, is it five or six interceptions?
Six. Yeah, I read your story. Yeah. Six.
23 touchdowns, I think. And now, obviously, he missed 2.5 games. But I really think this is his best year. And I really think that he is poised and primed. If he's going to make a big playoff, like, I don't even want to say jump, because his first playoff game was outstanding. But I think he's in position at the point of his career, which I wrote about, comparing him to the two previous quarterbacks and where when they sort of took off in the playoffs. I think he's at that point. I would be very surprised if Jordan doesn't play well this week.
As I mentioned, you did write that, and it was a really good story. You talked to Holmgren. You talked to McCarthy, who thought he was calling some other Jason the other night, and instead I got him for 25 minutes while I was driving home. But I am
the, that seems the other, to be a that seems to be a thing going around here lately. The wrong Jasons.
It's yes, that's true. It's been known to happen to a few people. I did think it was interesting, you know, your piece about how Holmgren would leave that seat open for Favre. I guess my question for you is, and you and I were not covering the team yet when Favre kind of made his big jump, right, for his first year in 95, and then I got here a little bit before you in 96, so I was there for the Super Bowl win. But, like, and again, I'm not here to judge other people. There were some questions about whether Malik Willis gives them a better chance to win, which I didn't necessarily agree with, but I think Jordan Love was playing great, too, and it feels like people have forgotten how well he was playing and, by the way, forgotten how well these guys were playing. And you were there in Denver, and I keep going back to this, and maybe I'm a fool for doing so, but it's 23-14. They get a takeaway, and they take a shot that if Jordan Love throws that 1 yard farther, it's a touchdown to Watson. Watson doesn't bang his chest on the ground. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know when Micah Parsons' knee gives out, but it might not have given out in that game. Like, it's crazy how those moments can change everything.
Yet so much has changed since that day. I mean, just look at the number of roster moves that they've made since then. That was, like, what, 3 weeks ago? They've got to be close to 60 or 70 roster moves since then. I mean, it was 23 roster moves 1 week alone, right?
Right.
Maybe it's not 60 or 70, but it's a lot. And, you know, I want to go back to Christian Watson for a second. I mean, you know, if Christian Watson started like this in week one, you know, he might be in the conversation for best receiver in the league or some of these type awards because, man, he's been outstanding. Really has been. Does he have a drop? I can't recall.
Oh, Jinxie. Jinxie.
Come on. You don't believe in that crap.
Brandon McManus is going to make every kick this year.
How'd that go?
All right. Yeah, not so good. I forgot about that one. But I mean,
as well, Watson, you should.
Watson's played really, really well. Mm-hmm. I would argue he's a better player now than he was before he got hurt a year ago.
I think you're right about that. How do you feel about where this offense is, by the way? You know, we spent time talking to Josh Jacobs the other day. That dude hasn't been healthy in 2 months, and it looks like he is going to be back to being himself, which could potentially cure what ails them in the red zone. And then on the flip side, I don't really like the way Zach Tom felt like he was trending. Like,
Matt LaFleur sounded so confident early in the week, which he never is. And then they gave him the day off yesterday. What do you make of those two guys and where they're at?
Yeah, the Josh Jacobs thing, I mean, his quote was, "This is the best I've felt in 6 weeks." That's pretty good for a running back to feel that way at this point in the year. And you're right about the red zone. I mean, how many touchdowns did he have the first half of the season, you know, in the short red zone area? And they've obviously, that was a killer against, what were they, 0 for 5? It was 0 for 5, right, in Chicago. So, I mean, I think that's a really good sign for Josh Jacobs. I am a little worried about the offensive line with Zach Tom. He is their best guy. You know, had Zach Tom played a full season, I think we might be talking about him as a possible all-pro type of guy, but he just never could get going. That's a concern. And I'm not worried because four of the five starters didn't play in Minnesota. I'm worried because Zach Tom might not be Zach Tom. That would be the concern that I would have if I were them.
What do you think they do if Zach Tom can't play? Which road do you think they go down? They obviously like having the opportunity to bring a sixth lineman in.
Yeah.
What do you think they end up going with if Zach can't go?
I think they probably go with Jordan Morgan, Tausch. I really do. And like you said, Darian Kennard as the sixth offensive lineman. I think they stick that way. I'd be very surprised if it wasn't Jordan Morgan at this point.
And defensively, how much concern do you have about what we saw the last time this group in full went out and it was ugly? And that's what the Bears are going to try to do. Where's your concern level? Because you can obviously look back, well, it didn't happen in Chicago, but they did have success running the ball against us.
Yeah, they did. But, Derrick Henry, no offense to DeAndre Swift and Kyle
Manunga.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. It sounds like a pizza at Rustique. Fun guy.
A lot of mushrooms on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not a mushroom guy. I know you're a big Rustique guy, though. No offense to those guys. They're not Derrick Henry. I do think the Packers are, have great concerns on the run defense. I mean, they've lost so many guys there. That's the position that got devastated the most with, obviously, trading Kenny Clark, losing Micah Parsons, losing Devontae Wyatt, losing Jordan Riley, who maybe we thought was going to be the Howard Green of this year.
Great line.
It's like Nazir Stackhouse, man. Like, let's see what you got here. Undrafted rookie was so good early in the year and then kind of, was inactive for a bunch of games there during the, second half of the season. They're going to need somebody like that to fill that spot. I do think having, all three of their linebackers available and healthy could help and should help, if those guys should happen to get to the second level. But, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and Edgerrin Cooper, it's going to be a big opportunity for those guys to show up in the run game as well.
Last one for me, Rob. Just from a substitution standpoint and whatnot, Valentine felt like they benched him. They don't love the way he tackles. And if you want to stop a run game, you bring in old boy from Dallas. Don't know how much he's going to play. And can you kind of go through that? And then as well, everybody's raving about Sorrell, how he played against Minnesota, and everybody's down on Rashawn Gary. Do you think there's going to be some reps taken from Rashawn, or do you think Rashawn is going to have carte blanche to play as much as he wants Saturday night?
Well, I was told Rashawn Gary has never been a high snap guy.
Very low snap count guy, yes.
So I guess I would expect him to play about half the snaps. Sorrell, I thought Brenton Cox had a nice game, although it was interesting. Was it yesterday? LaFleur didn't, mention him at all when he talked about guys who had shown a little bit and might have deserved some more playing time. He mentioned Sorrell and who was the other guy, Jace? You remember? I thought he mentioned two guys, but one of them wasn't Brenton Cox.
It wasn't Baby Micah, was it? Colin Oliver?
Might have been. Could have been. I don't know how much stock to put into anything that happened in that Vikings game. But the interesting thing about Carrington Valentine was, he didn't play on defense in that game. They obviously wanted Trevon Diggs to play, but if they thought he was a throwaway guy, they would have put him out there at the end. And I don't think he played any defensive snaps at all. So maybe they're resting him because they think he's a guy. Now, could they platoon those guys. I don't know that I love that at cornerback. I mean, it's one thing to do it on the offensive line. I'm not sure I'm a big – or the defensive line. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of alternating series for cornerbacks. But I do know that they did like what Trevon Diggs showed them, so I think that's going to be really interesting to see how the snaps break down there.
All right, Rob, last thing so we can let you go. I don't know when you're heading down to Chicago, but we earlier this week we had Jeff Hafley and some Chicago reporter sat in my
you
seat.
You guys carpooling or not, you two?
I'm carpooling with Bill Huber and Paul Brettel.
Okay.
When are you guys going tomorrow?
We're going tomorrow, yeah. So
y'all could get one Airbnb also. And split it just in case.
You guys,
with the
that
overnight.
Would be fun. And you guys could create content, the four of you playing cards.
See, I'm going tomorrow too, Jace, but I'm a little bit unsure. I have a hotel room, but like, and I know you people don't want to hear this, but if they lose, we might have to get back right away for the last locker room. So depending on how this thing goes, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be in Chicago for very long. So we'll see what happens.
Airbnb beat writers, am I right?
Oh, that's pretty good. Bad. That's clever.
That's pretty good.
Jeff, I am in no way ever willing to give up an opportunity to collect Marriott points.
Savvy veteran move right there.
I had 80 Marriott nights last year, Jesse.
What?
Yep.
Dang,
80 Marriott nights.
A lot of basketball travel, huh?
It is.
Yep. Are you like super, like, you can't be even platinum anymore. You got to be like sapphire or something.
I think it's titanium is what I am now.
Not like Pete Doherty's hip. All right, so my question is this. You know, that guy from Chicago sat in my seat, and then you said you would have smacked somebody in the head if they sat in your seat. So that got us off to kind of a fun start with Jeff Hafley. But he closed it out by banging on the podium and doing a walk-off that I'll see you next week. I'll see you tomorrow night, like Jack Buck. What did you make of him, and how much from us doing our job are we going to miss him if he gets a head coaching job? But how confident are you that in this cycle, especially with John Eric Sullivan getting a GM job now, which makes things interesting, how do you kind of see things unfolding for Jeff Hafley?
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if he's not a head coach. The only way, you know, seemingly that he wouldn't be a head coach is if he just doesn't interview well, but we have seen nothing to suggest that. In fact, it'd be the very opposite. You know, from what we've seen in our interactions and dealings with him and his dealings with players too. I mean, it's not just us. The way you can see him coaching and the way he deals with guys, you know, he seems to be a great combination of personable, but also no nonsense. And that's a hard mix to, you know, to mend there or to gel. And he seems to do it very well. You know, I would be very surprised if he's not a head coach. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we're talking to him next week about another playoff game, you know, at Seattle. So, I mean, he's one of those guys where, like, and really I thought the whole week, you know, you're not sure about how the game's going to go. And then you spend some time around these guys and you're like, well, I don't see how they could lose, you know.
I got that same vibe.
I know I mentioned getting back for last locker room. I'm trying to cover all bases. But, like, and maybe it's the same way if you spent the whole week in Chicago. But I remember going back, and this is going back a ways to 2007, I spent the week out in New York for the NFC Championship game covering the Giants before they came back here. And I came back, I remember talking to people, I came back, I go, I just spent 3 days with the Giants. There's no way they're winning this game. So what do I know?
Sounds like a young Jason Wilde.
I remember that day. That was really cold, right, Tausch, that
it
game?
It was very cold, yes.
I remember
and it was colder afterwards.
I left, I bet it was cold in the locker room, too. I left the Newark, we're headed to the Newark airport on that Friday afternoon, and it was like 46 degrees, and I'm like, boy, I could go play golf today. There's no way these guys are going to be able to handle this cold, and boy, was I wrong.
Tom Coughlin's face is still frozen and red from that. Yeah, I'm always leery when anyone says I don't see any way they lose this game, because that's what I said on the media bus to Super Bowl 32, and I could not have been more wrong. Rob, safe travels down to Chicago. We'll see you down there and keep racking up those Marriott points.
Yep. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one. All right.
That is Rob Domofsky of ESPN. You can read his piece that I mentioned in which he spoke with both Mike Holmgren and Mike McCarthy about their quarterbacks making the jump to become Super Bowl winners and whether or not at the same age, in his same year as the starter, Jordan Love will be able to do the same thing. We will have more, and we'll get ready for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Thanks to Rob Domofsky for joining us, as he does every Friday. Even though this week it's kind of like a Saturday because the game's on Saturday instead of Sunday. Tausch, after talking with Rob, do you feel better, worse, or the same about your expectations for the Packers?
Same. I mean, I think the concern of not having Zach Tom, both from you and him, where I thought before yesterday it was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, so did I.
It is a little concerning, but the Bears' pass rush is not doesn't scare me, even if Zach can't play. I would be more concerned if he can't play if we do advance and he can't play against the Seahawks. That would be probably more concerning, but obviously you want to have your best players out there when you tip it off. But no, my mindset is I'm kind of am where I am. I think it's you go through a process when you're looking at this and kind of figuring it out, and kind of come back to I just trust our offense versus their defense more so than I do anything else. But I doesn't mean that there's not concerns, especially on the special team side of it.
Like we joke about this for our green and gold game preview, which we did earlier in the show, and you can catch up if you missed or joined us late on the ESPN Wisconsin app or on Spotify, where we're back. But the turnovers, to me, it's hard not to look at that and say that's going to decide. If the Packers avoid turnovers, because, look, and fourth down failures don't count as turnovers per se, but they serve the same purpose, right?
Oh, they're a turnover.
Yeah, and so turnover on downs, if you will. And the Packers had two of those in the red zone. You can't do that. Not if you're going to advance in playoff games. My only thing, and you've said this before, and I believe it, is that, and the Packers obviously have to do it, but, like, good teams don't turn the ball over much in the playoffs. Like, that's why they've made it to where they have. And the Packers, while they haven't taken the ball away a ton, they also have done a pretty good job not turning the ball over. So, to me, I think the Bears, everything hinges on taking the ball away for them. And if they don't do it, I think the Packers are getting ready to pack their bags for Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, where they match up with the top-seeded Seahawks next week. Before we can get to our Steinhoffel's Sleepers of the Week, Tausch needs to tell us about American Family Insurance.
And just like a great team needs great protection, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too, and that's why they make life better by protecting your dreams with the right home and auto policies. Insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com.
Our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week are next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
The standings, which Tausch will quickly add is unofficial because he fired the previous judges.
I never hired them, in fairness.
When are you going to owe them an apology for still finishing in last place in this year's competition after firing them?
Who finished last?
You will.
No, I think I finished second. I didn't finish first for the first time. By the way, the postseason's here, baby. Points are doubled, so everything is still, it's pretty tight. And none of this is actually...
Since when do the points double?
None of this is sanctioned. Playoffs, things don't get more intense. Of course they do. Come on.
Well, be that as it may, the time has come for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, presented by our great partners at Steinhoffels. They've been with us since the beginning as our 10-year anniversary approaches during 2026. Not as long as the 250 years the United States has been around. But I can tell you this, in those 10 years, you've learned a lot about me. Many of the things you didn't necessarily want to know. One of them is I love great deals. I like saving money. And I love Steinhoffels. Well, I can put it all together right now. Because if you've been thinking about new furniture, now is the time. Remember when Kevin Green said, it is time during the Super Bowl? Well, it is time to get into Steinhoffels. Because right now, they are in full-on clearance and closeout mode. You can save up to 75% off and then take another extra 20% off clearance on top of that. Listen to these prices. Pillows starting at $2. $2?
No.
Yeah, that's what it says right here. $2. Pillows starting at $2. Consoles from $30 and sectional pieces starting at $30 as well. But seriously, these are the real prices. I'm not making this up. And when this stuff is gone, it is gone. It is time, and it is gone once it's gone. So get into your local Steinhoffels and grab these deals while you can. All right, Tausch, you grab your selection as your playoff Steinhoffels Sleeper of the Week.
It gets to be difficult at this time of the year to find someone that you don't get laughed at for picking a Stein because they've established themselves. But I think the guy that I have been very excited about, I think he's done some really good things. He's made the game-saving play, in my opinion, the last time these two, or not the last, when they played at Lambeau, J.J. Anagbare. He is a difference. I think he needs to be a difference maker. And, there's talk of, well, Sorrell's going to play, and how much is Rashawn Gary going to play? Anagbare is going to play a ton, and I think he is going to have opportunities. You know that they want to get him, Caleb Williams, out of the pocket. They want to get him outside so that he has a little more space and time, and I think J.J. Anagbare needs to be a big factor in not letting that happen. He needs to be stout against the run like he was on that critical third down play.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Anagbare, my Steinhoffels Sleeper of the Week.
That is an excellent, excellent choice. Jesse, who you got?
So I'm going to go with one that may end terribly. But I feel
I respect you going out on that creaky limb.
Specifically in the wild card round of the playoffs, it feels like the Packers always get a sneaky wide receiver performance. Against the Cowboys, I think it was Wicks had a couple of big catches in that game a couple of years ago. I've got this feeling.
I got a feeling.
After his involvement in the offense was poo-pooed going into the Vikings game, the first round pick comes up with a big play on Saturday night. Matthew Golden is my Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week, perhaps finding the end zone for the first time in his Green Bay Packers career.
Ooh, that'd be a great story.
I'm hoping for it.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to go wide receiver also. I understand that this will require a greater performance because of his status on the team. No, I'm not picking Christian Watson. But I am picking a guy that will need redemption after a colossal blunder. And then not finishing the game, and then he didn't play last week, so he's been sleeping for a while. I'm taking Romeo Doubs. Can he atone for his muffed onside kick and deliver in a playoff game. The red zone, where he has been a very good force in the past, but has not done much there lately either. I'm going to take Romeo Doubs as the redemption story for him as they get ready to face the Bears for the third time on Saturday night. Those are our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. You can share yours via our Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. Jesse will get those posted. Have we agreed that these are worth double, or is that just a command decision?
We're in for double. We're in for double.
I was going to say I'm on board. So we will. These will be worth double points. Jesse, I know Tausch doesn't recognize their existence. So does AFC Richmond Analytics? What are the current standings according to them?
Oh, you know what? I saw they tweeted this morning. Let me pull that up real quick.
I'm in studio today, and I don't know where the hell our cameras are coming from. They're five or six different angles this morning. But Jeff in Milwaukee, what a gift. Look at this.
Wow.
Double Tausch. What are these? Yetis, right? Is that what these are called?
Yeah, the tumblers.
Yeah. Look at that.
So that's a callback all the way to, remember when you had that one that got stolen?
Yeah, I remember
I still think Scalzo's got that, but yeah. This is nice, and we have a little, I think we're going to have some logo things moving forward here that Jason and I agreed looked pretty good, so we got some stuff rolling here. Thank you, Jeff. This is really nice. A coffee one and a cold water one.
That's pretty
sweet.
What
a deal. Huh? Pretty nice gift.
Wow. Wow.
Wondering where ours are.
Did anyone else get them or just you?
He got two, which is actually more insulting to us.
And I'll never know. Nobody will be able to steal this. A name right there.
I don't think that prevents anyone from stealing them. Yeah. I think that just...
For some people, that's more of an incentive to steal it.
Okay, well, anyways, thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it. That's very nice of you.
Our updated Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week standings, unofficially from AFC Richmond Analytics. I'm winning. How about that? What an anomaly here. I've won the fewest amount of weeks, but thanks to being a great second-place finisher.
Are we using the Stableford scoring system or something?
I don't know what that is, but I have 35 points for the season, but 5 wins to 6 for each of you guys. So I have 35 points in first place. Jason has 34 points in second place. And bringing up the caboose, old T with his tumblers, 33 points.
Yeah, I don't recognize. Snip and tuck. Just for the record, I don't recognize AFCH. Just for the record.
Then what do you recognize?
Steinhoffel.
His new tumblers.
Well, Steinhoffel's in my tumblers. Exactly.
All right, well, so much for that. Tausch continues to rail against the official arbiter of the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week after their rebranding. We will rebrand Wilde and Tausch as the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch.
Can I make a public service announcement for everyone going into the top of the hour here? We saw some complaints, so I wanted to address this. We're going to play the montage again coming up, but on YouTube we are muting the montage. So if you want to hear the montage...
So have you done that in the first 2 hours as well?
Yes.
Because it would get it'd get us flagged because you, who knows what a problem it is to use copyrighted material, even though we pay to play it on the radio. You used music that includes royalties.
I mean, it's a perfect song. It's Green Day. It's a perfect song.
I enjoy Green Day. I'm with
you. What
are
we going into here?
But what are you doing here?
Well, what do you want me to do? Use royalty-free music for a montage?
Yes.
Won't have nearly the same
effect. We're done in the royalty game. It's over.
So right now, if you're watching on YouTube,
Get to a radio.
The app will also play the montage. So go to the ESPN Wisconsin app. You got time to download it. You got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to download it.
Do you think your montage is so good that you expect people to run to a radio like a tornado is coming?
Yeah.
Wow.
Texts are coming in. Bravo, Jesse. Great montage. Everybody loves the
You're
montage.
You're making those up.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Those are invented.
Who's your gal
text
from Ruth Chris?
It's not her. Oh, it's right at the start of the show.
Barb.
Yeah, let me pull it up here. I can't find him right now.
It's hard to believe you can't find them.
The
11 o'clock
David
hour.
David Aaron. Jamie in Orlando. Cody in Pittsburgh. Bravo to all of them. Yeah.
I notice you're just reading names now. All right, the 11 o'clock hour will start with Johnny Montage in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.